Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, the title today is Becoming Whole in Jesus. And you know, life can really at times feel like a jigsaw puzzle, and it's where it's missing a couple pieces. You know, it really can feel like that. And I'll never forget the time that Eliza and I, when we go to the beach, we enjoy getting a nice big 1,000-piece puzzle. You know, we got this beautiful one that had a scenic picture of the ocean and the waves and the seagrass, and it's a gorgeous puzzle. And we were working so hard on this puzzle, and we get all the way to this 1,000-piece puzzle, and guess what? It's missing one piece. And I'm like, you are kidding me. I'm like, we worked a whole week on this thing. I mean, it was one of those puzzles that, you know, you could put in a frame, you know, and put it up on the wall. It's like, hey, look what I've done. Yeah, and there's one piece missing. I mean, it's like, you work all that hard effort, all that time, all that. It's like, and I'm looking everywhere, under the couch, everywhere. I'm like, this can't be true. But it happens. But, you know, one thing is, I think, becoming very clear. And I told Eliza this last couple of weeks. We are in a season in the body of Christ that he's making us holy and whole. He's doing a holy work on the inside of you, and he's making you whole on the inside out. And he's filling kind of like the missing pieces that are in your soul. He's filling those places that are, well, you just forgot that there was a missing piece there. And the Lord, what he's doing right now in this season, is that he's allowing circumstances to happen in people's lives to surface hidden areas. Areas that you just kind of wanted to forget about, shut the door to, exile, go to your room, don't come out again. In a way, he's allowing circumstances to turn up the heat a little bit to reveal some areas in your heart that he wants to heal and make whole and make right because of his love for you. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says, Jesus can heal everywhere you hurt. He can heal everywhere you hurt. You know, if something isn't whole, it typically means that it's missing something, right? If it's not whole, it's just not complete. And a whole piece of pizza is not whole if it's missing a piece of pizza, right? It's not whole. It's missing some pizza. Well, Eliza and I found this wonderful pizza restaurant here in Swannanoa. And they make this chicken pasta pesto pizza. And it's really good. It's really good. But I have a weakness that whenever I drive home with takeout, I always like to have an appetizer before I get home. So I said, I'll grab a piece of pizza. So I pulled the piece out, and I'm trying to eat it and drive home. And, oh, it was so good, you know. And I'm eating the piece of pizza. And we get home, and I bring in the pizza, and Liza opens it up. It's missing a piece of pizza. What's going on? I said, it's okay, it's okay. I had a piece on the way home, and it was really good. But the reality is that I think a lot of us like to do that. I don't know about you, but when I get like burgers and fries, I always like to eat the fries on the way home. You know? And you know what really tastes good? Is eating the fries of other people's fries that are in the bag. So yeah, you ate one from here, and one from this one, and one from that one. They'll never know. And they taste so good. You know, if a broken piece of glass is broken and it's shattered into tiny little pieces, these little pieces are not making this glass whole because it shattered. And so to be whole, if we could put this up on the screen, to be whole means that nothing is missing, lacking, or broken in your mind, your soul, your spirit, or your body. God has replaced every missing piece, and He's mended every broken place, and He's provided for every area of lack in your life. This is what God does. He searches the inner heart. He searches you and He knows you. He's trying to, what He's doing is that He's replacing depression with unspeakable joy. He's taking, if there's any bondage, He's setting you free on the inside. He's always doing something. If there's emptiness, He's replacing it with fulfillment. So he's filling those places with the opposite. So what is wholeness? It is a state of being content, at peace. You feel like you're taken care of and you're healed from the inside out. I love that song, "We're Healed from the Inside Out." I mean, Daniel could not have picked more better songs for this Sunday than today. I'm like, whoa, come on. This is flowing, baby. You know, and we are no longer a victim to our past. And so what's happening is that the stains of the regret and, oh, I gosh, I wish I had done that, are being wiped away. The Lord is making everything new in your life. The worries of the world are just growing dim. And that is something that happens when you're able to come into wholeness on the inside. It changes your perspective of life. You look at life from a different way. Because when there is contentment and rest in your soul, it enables you to have a right perspective on life and not look at the glass half empty. It's half full. It's good. Things are looking good. They're looking up. So to be truly whole means that really Jesus is the center of your world. He's kind of sat down in the chair in your heart, and He's made room for Himself. He's there. He's presence. And what we're doing when we're entering into wholeness, we're allowing Jesus to mend the cracks in our lives, in our soul, in our spirit that have been caused by pain and hurt and circumstances and words that have been said to us. We're allowing Him to go in and just heal those cracks and those missing pieces in our soul. So, and being whole doesn't mean that you don't experience pain anymore. And it doesn't mean that you're perfect. And it doesn't mean that you've arrived and you'll never need to, you know, start the journey of wholeness ever again, just because life does happen. It happens. Should be a bumper sticker. Life happens. Now, we know there's other bumper stickers that say something a little different, but life happens. But it simply means that Jesus makes you whole and complete in every single area of your life. You know, we are very, very complex individuals. We're very complex and multifaceted and very fearfully and wonderfully made. But the Lord wants to enter into all of the areas of your heart, even those areas that somehow you forgot about them because they were just too painful to even deal with anymore. And what's happening in this season is that out of his love, he's setting the stage through circumstances to surface the areas in your heart that he wants to make whole. Do you realize this is going on right now? It is happening. So if I need to give you a little news bulletin, God is shaking the cage a little bit to see what's on the inside. And it's only because he loves you. And he knows that when you're complete on the inside, it gives you a strength and a confidence on the outside. When you have this confidence in knowing that all is going to be okay, it brings such peace into your heart. He's able to comfort the pain and the heartache. But to be whole, to be completely whole, you have to first be in Christ, because he is wholeness. You have to be in the one that's whole to receive wholeness. Now, I want to share a story in the scripture, because one day Jesus was walking through Jerusalem and he came to this famous pool. And this pool was famous because people believed that an angel would periodically, every year, once a year, would come down and stir the water with his finger, I guess. And as he stirred the waters, the first one that entered into the water was healed of their ailments, of their struggles. And so I want to read this story together and unpack something that you might not realize what is in this story that has significance for what we're talking about right now. So let's look at John chapter 5, verses 2 through 14. John 5, 2 through 14. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. And in these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, and waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the waters. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, he was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. I imagine that was a very frantic scene, because there were hundreds of lame and blind and paralyzed, withered individuals that are all around this pool. And can you imagine all of a sudden, hey, the water is moving! I mean, it was probably pandemonium. And trying to get into the water first, and the first one in gets healed. And it says a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. 38 years sitting by this pool. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he'd already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." And immediately the man became well, and he picked up his pallet, and he began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day, verse 10. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." And the guy's like, "Come on. I've been sick for 38 years. And he's like, "Get up and walk. Carry your pallet. I'm going to carry my pallet whether you like it or not." And he who made me well was the one who said to me, "Pick up your pallet and walk." And they asked him, Well, who is this man that said that to you? Pick up your pallet and walk. But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." So there's an implication here that this man's life that had been sick for 38 years, that there was sin in his life that was an open door and invited other things into his life that was the cause for where he had been all these years by the pool. So he said, "Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." So we have a man who had been lying by this pool for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and he learned that he'd been there in that condition, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Well, personally, I think that's a really peculiar question. To me, it's obvious. To me, it's like, it's very clear. You know, I mean, he approached the pool surrounded by people that had all kinds of disabilities that were sitting around this pool. And he walks up to this guy who had been sick for 38 years and he asked him really a very obvious question. "Do you want to get well?" And I mean, if you were the sick guy, how would you have answered Jesus? Well, I know how I would have answered it. I know how I would have answered it. I would have said, "Yes! Yes and yes!" And if I didn't say yes enough, "Yes! I want to be healed! I want to be healed!" I mean, 38 years! I mean, that's a lot of bed sores, you know, on the side, you know, laying down on the pool. I mean, come on, it's like, "Yes! Come on, Jesus! I want to be healed." But what does he say? "Well, every time I try to get in the water, somebody gets ahead of me, knocks me down, I can't get up in time, and no one is there to pick me up and take me in when the water's moving." Oh, come on. I've been trapped. I've been in this body. And I can't get out of here quick enough to get in the water. I mean, come on. I would have cut to the chase and said, "Yes!" But he kind of like went down a detour, you know? Kind of having to explain his situation. And so he asked him this question. He says this. He says, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." In other words, I can't get well. No one will help me. I tried before. It doesn't work. Something is going wrong. Somebody's always cutting me off. Someone's always getting ahead of me. It's my turn, and they're always getting in before me. Oh, woe is me. You know, I mean, it's really showing the reality of his heart. Do you remember the donkey Eeyore from the video Winnie the Pooh? Well, Eeyore's this guy. "Poor me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody helps me. And it's really not my fault. It's their fault. It's not my fault." He's saying, "I want to get well, but it probably won't work. I'll just go ahead and sit here another 38 years. It's not going to get any better." You know, we all have some Eeyores in our life, don't you? You know an Eeyore? You know, when you mention it's a nice day, it's probably going to rain. How are you doing? Bad. Depressed. Children are miserable. Abandoned. I'm unemployed. I'm overweight. You know, it's just a negative perspective. I'm in debt. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I don't mean to minimize in any way people's pain or trauma or the situation that you've gone through. However, there is a problem when we allow our circumstances in life, especially the hard ones, to define us. And that definition is how we define our lives from the circumstances. And Jesus doesn't want us to be defined by our circumstances. He wants to take our experiences, good and the bad ones, and use them to mold us into the people that He's destined for us to become. He's wanting to shape us into the diamond, into the masterpiece, into the person that He's created us and intended us to be from the beginning. And He uses these circumstances to shape you into this most incredible individual that has a reflection of Jesus. That people see Jesus in you because you've allowed the circumstances not to define you, but you've allowed them to shape you into the man and woman God has called you to be. You're not looking at the circumstances being the end-all situation. You're looking at it just being a part of the process to get me where the Lord has me going. We got to see that what we're going through is not the end of the story. It's not. Yeah, I know you can't find a job right now. But it's not the end of the story. Because our Father loves to give good gifts to His children. He can find you a job very easily. He can find you a mate. He can find you a purpose, because we all have been made with a purpose. But there's some of us that have to go through circumstances to discover what this glorious thing the Lord has for us. But I want to look closer at this word that Jesus uses when He says in John 5:6, He says, "Do you want to get well?" The word there, well, comes from the Greek word hugios, or it's called hugies. The Greek word is hugies. And this word literally means to be made whole. So Jesus asked the man, really, do you want to be made whole on the inside out? He didn't say, do you want to be healed? Because typically in the scriptures, you'll see when Jesus was healing the people, the Greek word that is used is sozo a lot of times, which is made to heal, save, and deliver. Heal, save, and deliver. Sozo is the normal word for when Jesus is ministering to the multitude. This word is different. Jesus uses this word hugies. And that means, do you want to be whole and made complete and be content on the inside? I mean, come on. That's like, I mean, you see the ailment, you see that he can't get into the water, you see all the other people, and instead of saying, hey, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? He said, do you want to be whole on the inside out? I love this question. I mean, I'm sure it kind of threw him. I mean, the guy's like, what? But so the question really is, Jesus comes to you and he says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed on the inside? Do you want to experience what is known as the abundant life that he's created you for? I mean, I'm amazed. The Lord just like has this X-ray vision and he's able to look right on the inside of you. And he says, yeah, we got some physical problems going on here. But the issue is you're not whole on the inside. And that area where you're not whole has caused you to sin, which invited physical ailments into your life. Your attitude, your perspective on life, the negativity actually was the stage that opened up the door for physical ailments. Do you see this? Being critical, being judgmental, being unforgiving is causing things potentially to bring physical ailments into your body. So the Lord didn't go after the healing. He went after his soul. He said, do you want to be whole on the inside? But however, in this story, Jesus is really turning the table on this situation, I believe, to get the attention of this guy. And what's happening now is I am watching and seeing and hearing in the body of Christ is that he's turning the table on you. And he's allowing some circumstances to go on to surface things that you normally wouldn't look at because you haven't been wanting to deal with it. You haven't been wanting to look at it. And out of his love, he sets the stage so that he can reveal what's going on the inside. It's kind of like when these things surface in our hearts, we're like, oh, nope, I am not looking at you. Woo! We push that right back down. And he's saying, stop doing that. I'm allowing it to come up because I want to restore you. So, what he's talking about is he's wanting us to enter in to a quality of life that is the abundant life that we have in Christ Jesus. It is the abundant life that we have. And I think the difference between this situation really exposes a dynamic, I think, in some of our thinking of how we approach life in situations. I mean, I believe that Jesus is basically revealing that there can be some incorrect thinking and responses that we're having in life that are causing us not to hit the mark. And let me explain. I don't think that there's anybody here that would deny that the power of the cross, that our sins are taken away by his death, burial, and resurrection, right? You believe you're forgiven. You have a guaranteed spot in heaven. He's making a mansion for you. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But I think you can have all of that, but still not live in the abundant life in the here and now. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? You can believe with all of your heart. I can be reading the Word of God and pass away. I'm instantly in the presence of Jesus because of his shed blood. But do I believe that the power of the cross can give me the abundant life in the areas that I'm hurting in? in my soul. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. Are you walking in the abundant life inside your heart? Are you walking in a lifestyle that is bringing contentment and peace and satisfaction and joy on the inside? You know, Jesus, when he approached the man, he didn't ask, you know, whose fault it was, or who cut you off so that you didn't get into the water. I mean, tell me, share with me why you can't get in the water. He didn't try to get there, and it wasn't a therapy session. He wasn't trying to get down. Well, tell me the root of this thing. He really recognized that there was a bigger question going on that this man needed to be addressed with, and that is, do you want to be made whole inside your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you want to be whole on the inside? And the truth is, if we can just simply bring this down to simple terms, his grace is sufficient to meet you in the depths of your heart and bring healing to every part of you. In Jesus, you can have this peace that helps you overcome from being a victim to your circumstances. You're no longer a victim. You're not like a drive-by victim on the side of the road. You are now complete and whole. Wholeness is not like a one-time event, but it is a lifelong process of sanctification where God really is continuing to conform you on the inside out. And if you were to be honest, when you're alone, when you're with the Lord, can you at times feel that ache deep in your soul? Can you feel that ache or a little bit of that pain or that twinge that's deep in there? These are the areas that Jesus wants to step into. And he wants to bring completeness into your heart. But to be conformed into this image of Jesus, the first thing is that we have to acknowledge our brokenness on the inside. You got to acknowledge the brokenness on the inside. You know, the journey really begins with humbly kind of like admitting the pain. You know, it's admitting, you know, the shame and the failures to God. And you cannot earn this healing. This is a gift to you that he's wanting to give you that can go in and just soothe you with the healing balm of Gilead in the depths of your soul. It's really a gift from God. But the second thing that we need to do to receive this wholeness is that we need to surrender control. Because we have a really good job of stiff-arming situations, people, and even God from touching these areas. Relinquish needing to be in control. And it might even be that you need to, you know, get rid of the protector, which is anger. A lot of times anger can protect you. It's like, that's not going to ever happen to me again. So therefore, anger's at the door. You get close to me, you're going to have a piece of his mind. I mean, it can be a protector of this area. I'm never going to let that happen again. Let go of the control and let go of the anger and surrender it all to Jesus and invite Him to come in. Invite Him to come in. And that's the third part of this journey of entering into wholeness, is invite Jesus into the emotional pain. Allow Him to come in. Because you know what Jesus came to do? When Scripture says He came to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up their wounds. He's masterful and so good at healing the broken places in our soul. And the reality is that you've got to welcome Him in. You've got to let the one that brings the healing into your heart so that He can restore you. What He's wanting to do, He's wanting to take you, it's going to be beauty from brokenness. He's going to take the broken places and He's going to put it all back together in a masterful way that only God can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And the amazing thing is, it's just like if I could show up on the screen this Japanese art called Kintsugi. Anybody ever heard of Kintsugi? This is a beautiful artwork that is done where an artist will take lacquer and he mixes it with gold or silver, and then he takes all the broken pieces and puts them back together again. And it makes the most beautiful piece of artwork. But He can take these broken places in your life, and then all of a sudden, in such a beautiful way, He can make a new picture, a new you, that's representing the handiwork of God. He loves to do that. He loves to take those broken, missing pieces. He can even find the jigsaw puzzle that's been missing for a year. He can find it. But the scars can become a testimony of His grace and His love. Do you know that? It's a testimony of what God can do deep inside of you when you allow Him to. So, are you living a full life? Or are you living a fractured life? Where are you seeking wholeness? And I invite you, I really want to invite you to allow Jesus to take your brokenness, the pain, the disappointments, the failures, and lay it at the foot of the cross. Just to lay the disappointments, the failure, the hurt, all at the foot of the cross of Jesus. And invite Him to enter into you and restore you and make all things right. You know, the incredible thing about the Lord is that He understands fully and remembers the pain that you've been through. It says in the Scripture in Psalms that He has a bottle of remembrance. It's actually a tear bottle that He remembers every tear that you shed in a bottle of remembrance. He knows every tear you shed. He understands the pain. And it's time to allow the soothing, healing warmth of Jesus to enter in and make us whole in every area of our life. We must trust Him. Do you trust Him with your heart? Can you trust Him to take care of your heart? He made your heart. Might as well say, Lord, you can have it back. It kind of got a little broken, but I want you to heal it and restore what you made. Because the one that calls you is faithful, and guess what? He will do it. If you ask him, he will do it. You might be shaking, giving him your heart, but he will do it because he's faithful and he's a loving father. And he's making us into a masterpiece created for the destiny that he's called us to. All of us have been given a destiny, a purpose in life. And he wants us to run the race set before us with such internal strength and confidence and wholeness that we can run it in a way that we are setting our face and nothing's going to stop us. I don't want to be limping over the finish line. I'm here, Jesus. No. Baby, I'm going to be out there and I'm going to win. And I want to make it across the line victoriously, and I'm going to get the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus to receive the crown that was made for us. But we have got to be made whole to fulfill our destiny completely. And it's going to be up to you to recognize what the Lord is doing right now in your life. It's like the finger of God. It's just very gently going around to everybody. And he's allowing circumstances to surface things. Ooh, I didn't know that emotion was in there. Well, it's been there a long time. He's just allowing it to come out now. So the reality is, don't push it back anymore. Don't stuff it down. Open up your heart and allow him to come in and restore every aspect of your life. So I want you to enter into the story with the man that had been by the well for 38 years. I want you to enter into that story and replace that man with you. You're sitting there, and Jesus comes up to you and he says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Because that's what he's offering to us in this crazy season right now that we're in. I don't know about you guys, but it's getting pretty crazy out there. But in the midst of the craziness, God is saying, but I'm doing a new thing. In the midst of all of this, we can find wholeness, which is really a gift to each of us from the Lord. There's strength that he wants to bring to some hearts today. You know, the scripture says that don't grow weary in well-doing. There's kind of a weariness in some hearts that God's just saying, I want to refresh you. I want to refresh you in this weary season that you've been in. And let me make everything just right for you. It takes a response from us, trusting in a loving Jesus who cares about us. He cares about our salvation. He cares about our healing. He cares about our future. He cares about everything, and he cares about the depths of your heart. It's time. It is time to stand up and say, Jesus, I just surrender all. I want to lose control, and I invite you now to come in and restore and make me whole. And you know, for that man at the well, it happened like that. He responded to the Lord with the measure of faith that he had, and that measure of faith, he made him whole, he made him healed, he strengthened him, and he picked up his pallet, and he went walking. He said, I don't know, the man just told me to pick up my pallet and walk, and that's what I'm doing. So today, it's time to pick up some pallets. Say, I'm ready to walk. So let's stand. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I thank you that, Lord, it's like you're brooding over this place, like you were brooding over the waters in the beginning of creation. You're moving over this church. And I thank you that you see us and you know us. I thank you, God, that you see us through the finished work of the cross. You see us through the precious blood of your Son. And you see us righteous, whole, and healed through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, today I'm asking that if there have been some that recognize that, God, you have been orchestrating things in my life to surface, reveal, to show these missing places in my life that just need to be filled up with your love. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that this church would come into wholeness and healing in Christ Jesus and enter into the abundant life that you've called us to. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. And we say yes and amen to your promises. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to everything that you have said is ours and is our inheritance. And we thank you, Jesus, that you look at everything. You're just not looking at parts of us. You're looking at us as a whole. And Lord, we thank you that you care for our hearts. And Lord, today I'm asking that your wholeness would be released in this church and that people would respond to the good news that Jesus has come to heal us of our spirit, our soul, and our body. So, Lord, we worship you. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint your people and take them by the hand and lead them gently through this process. And, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. And it's the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You know, if I could have some of the prayer team come on up, some of the team come on up. If there's anything in your heart that you just say, Lord, I just need your help. I need you to touch. I can't figure it out. But I am feeling some pain in my heart, some ache. I just want you just to heal. Make me whole. If you need to respond to what the Lord is doing, I want you to come forward. I just want you to come forward and just receive prayer from the Lord Jesus. I want him to touch those areas in your life that you rise up in strength and confidence in him. So, Father, I pray right now that you would move upon each and every one. And, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church. That, Lord, you would make your face shine upon us. That you'd be gracious and kind to us this day. And, Lord, I'm asking that you would also lift up your countenance and give us your peace. Lord, I thank you for the gift of peace that you've given us. And I'm asking that your peace would rest upon everybody in Jesus' name. Amen.